Be seated. I meant to get it from you, thank you. Just a word about the last verse of that hymn that we sang. Son of righteousness, risen with healing in his wings. What does that mean? Well, it's a quotation from Malachi chapter 4, in which the Messiah is compared to the sun rising up in the east. And you know how sometimes you'll see rays of light bursting out from the rising sun, especially if there's a little humidity in the air. And those are like the wings of the sun, in Hebrew thinking at any rate. And so he's rising with healing in his wings. The sunlight brings healing life to the earth. So that's the picture of Christ the Messiah. Our text for this morning is John chapter 1, the passage that we have been reciting as our opening verses in the service for the month of December. And I have provided you with outlines. I think you all have them. In some places you can write words, in other places you might need to draw pictures. And kids, you can draw pictures wherever. And I have a barrel of candy up there for all the kids, sixth grade and under. So you come up after the service and show me your paper, and you get a piece of candy. That's the way it works, okay? Now, the ones who are here in the service normally realize that's what happens. The younger ones aren't normally with us, but that's what we do. Send them home sugared up. In our verses for December, the word is a reference to the Lord Jesus Christ before he was born on earth. Let's read together these verses again that we read at the beginning of the service. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. So kids, who is the Word? Tell me. Who is the Word? Parents, you can help.
Jesus.
Yeah, there's a big kid. All right, you kids, okay. You don't get any. Yeah, that's what I told you last week. That's right. All right, I want to look with you at these verses, and we'll just kind of look at them a phrase at a time and see what God has for us out of them. We're going to look at the beginning. It says, in the beginning was the Word. Now, when did the Christmas story begin? It actually began before the beginning of everything else. Let's think about the beginning. Here's a line with an arrow going off to the right and a big dot at one end, at the left end. Let's call that dot the beginning. The beginning. The dot represents the beginning of everything we see around us and many things that we don't see, such as angels. Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. That's the big beginning. That's the beginning of everything. After the big beginning, different things came into being one after another. And you can draw some of them. You don't have to draw what I put up here. I put mountains and trees and people and you. And you can draw frogs or cows or earthworms or whatever you want. But put something on your paper there to show that different things came into being. They started after the big beginning, after the beginning of everything. Every mountain had a beginning. Mountains were not always here. Every tree had a beginning. It started as a little seed, and then it grew and grew and grew. Every person had a beginning, and you did too. You were not anywhere before you were inside of your mother. You started out inside your mother, and then you were born. That was your beginning. So there was the big beginning, the start of everything, and then one after another, things kept coming into being. But when everything else began, somebody was already present. Who was already present? Well, the Bible tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So God and the Word were already there in the beginning. When everything else started to happen, God and the Word were already there. Let me ask again, kids, who is the Word? Specifically, who is the Word? Jesus, right. Okay. And God was the right answer too. But I was looking specifically for you to remember that Jesus was there in the beginning before anything else started to happen. And since he was there before the beginning, he didn't have a beginning. He didn't have a start. You had a start. You had a beginning. Jesus, who's the Word, didn't have a beginning. And God didn't have a beginning. So sometimes people say, who made God? The answer is nobody made God. He didn't have to be made. He was there before the beginning. Well, then, that brings us to the Word. In the beginning was the Word. Before I talk about the Word, who was with God before the beginning, I want you to pretend something with me. I want you to pretend that I could make a copy of myself, an identical copy of myself, just by talking. I say, my 2 feet, and right there, right, okay, you guys that can imagine things real well, right there, my 2 feet, with shoes, okay, that's where the copy's standing. And my 2 legs, boom, there they are, with charcoal gray pants. I guess that's the color of them. My body, there it is. All right, feet, legs, body, no arms yet, but it has a coat, okay? My head, there's my head. Everything exactly the same, even the gray hairs. My arms, now it's got arms. My voice, now my double standing right there can speak just the way I can. Sounds just exactly like me. Now the hard parts, my memories, my knowledge, my personality, everything that makes me me. There it is. You have an exact duplicate of me, right? The only difference is I was the one speaking, and that is the one spoken to. All right? So the Word, my words, became me. Well, let's imagine that I didn't have to do it a bit at a time, but all I had to do was say, myself, and right there would be a duplicate of me. See if you can draw something that looks sort of like that. I won't be offended if it doesn't look too much like me. An exact replica. This duplicate has my knowledge, my memories, my abilities. If you would ask him a question and then ask me a question, you'd get exactly the same answer. It would be myself. That's a little bit, only a little bit, but it's a little bit like God and the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In eternity, before there was any time at all, forever and ever, God was saying the Word. You can imagine him saying, myself, okay? And throughout eternity, God the speaker, speaking out the Word, and the Word is exactly the same as He is, fully God. Same power, He's all-powerful, He's everywhere, except there wasn't anywhere at that time. He has all the knowledge, all the love. If you would ask the Word a question, He would give you the same answer as if you would ask God the speaker. So God the Father has always been speaking, and we usually call the speaker the Father because that's what Scripture usually calls Him. We usually call the Word spoken the Son because that's what Scripture usually calls Him. So God and the Word have exactly the same knowledge. They're all powerful. They love exactly the same things. They hate exactly the same things. They're identical. Now, since this happened at the beginning, before time, before there was a time, there never was a time when the Father was alone without the Son. The Father was always speaking the Word. The Word was always spoken. The Word was with God, and the Word is God. God didn't speak at some time in the past. He spoke the Word when there was no time at all. So the Word is God. He's the exact image of God. He always has been. Now, I realize that this picture kind of makes it look as if there are two gods. But there aren't two gods. There's only one God. There are two persons who are one God. And I might talk about that more some other time. But there is also the third one, and that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit isn't in this passage. This passage doesn't talk about Him. And I don't have enough time to really include Him. But I do speak about the Holy Spirit. He's very, very important. So, the Word. The Word is God spoken. The Father is God the speaker. Well, the next thing that we see in our text is that all things were made through the Word, that all things came into being through Him, and apart from Him, nothing came into being that has come into being. So we have God the speaker, God who is the Word spoken, and everything comes into being through Him. All things have come into being through Him. Now here, kids, you can draw some more pictures. You can draw whatever you want that God has made. I've made mountains and trees and people, but you might make cabbages and flowers and, something else like that. You might draw an angel. The Bible says that God created all things through His Son. It says it here in this text. It says it in Colossians 1:16. It says it in Hebrews 1:2 as well. Maybe it was something like this. God said, "Let there be light." And His Son made light. And God said, "Let the waters teem with swarms of living creatures. Let birds fly above the earth in the open expanse of the heavens." And His Son made fish and birds. So all things were made through Christ. And that's why the arrow goes down from God the speaker through God the Word to the things that He's made. All things have come into being through Him. The Word became flesh. The Word became flesh. That's the message of Christmas, isn't it? And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, you have God the speaker, you have God who is the Word, and you have Jesus being born. Now, for the first time, the Word has a new name. I've been saying that the Word is Jesus, but He didn't have that name. He was the Word. He was the Son. He appeared a few times in the Old Testament, temporarily, in various ways. But now He has an ordinary human name. His name is Jesus. So, what happened is this. Can you draw a picture of Mary and Joseph and the baby? Or maybe just the baby? Whatever you're able to do. What happened is this. He had to make a baby's body inside of Mary, and he had to make a baby's soul. So God, the Word, who made everything, had to make himself a human body and a human soul. He had to have a human body so he could save our bodies, and he will at the resurrection. He had to have a human soul so he could save our souls. What is your soul, by the way? Your soul is the part inside of you that gets happy or sad or thinks or that wants something. That's your soul. This is your finger, right? You can see your finger. You can't see your soul. But it's the part inside of you that loves and hates and thinks. Now, this is not a picture that I put on your sheet. I didn't have room. But here we have the reminder that there was no beginning to God and the Word. And that in after the beginning, after the big beginning of everything, when God created the heavens and the earth, then he created a lot of things, mountains and trees and people. And he had to make himself a human body and a human soul so that he could save our bodies and our souls. Now, what does this all mean to us? What does it mean to you and me at Christmas? We like to think of Jesus as how? How do we think of him at Christmas? A baby, right. We think of him as a baby. If Jesus were still a baby, what would you want to do? What would you want to do if he were still a baby? You'd want to hold him, right? Okay. I know Heather, she doesn't do this anymore now that she's 70. But after our two kids were grown, and they were older, every time she saw a baby, she wanted to hold the baby, and she'd say, "I want one." Now, she doesn't want another one now, believe me. But yeah, even men like to hold babies. They sometimes feel a little awkward. And if Jesus were still a baby, that would be the appropriate response, wouldn't it? You'd want to hold him. But guess what? Is Jesus still a baby? No, he's not a baby. Now, you might hold a doll and pretend it's Jesus, but you really couldn't hold Jesus. All right, if Jesus were a little boy, what would you want to do? You'd want to play with him, right? Just as you do with other little boys. I suppose the other boys and girls in his hometown of Nazareth might have played hide and seek. Maybe they played tag with him. I think there are probably some games that are universal, probably played almost everywhere. He wouldn't have played Nintendo because they didn't have Nintendo then. But they would have played together. And if Jesus were still a little boy, what would you want to do? You'd probably want to play with him. Is he still a little boy? No, he's not. He isn't. What did he do when he grew up? Well, he died on a cross, didn't he? They put nails through his hands. They put nails through his feet. It was a horrible, horrible way to die. What should you do because he died and then rose up again from the grave? You should trust him. You should trust him as your Savior. Jesus died for your sins. He died to give you eternal life with God. And what he wants you to do is to come to him and say, "Lord Jesus, I know I've disobeyed you. I know I've disobeyed God. I've been bad. And I want you to save me. You died to save people who sinned. I'm a sinner. Please save me." And then when it comes my time to die, or maybe you'll come back before then, you'll take me to heaven to be with you. Trust him. Trust him. And it's my hope that each and every one of you here today will trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. But there's one more thing I need to say. After Jesus died and rose up again from the grave, his disciples saw him go up into heaven, and a cloud received him out of their sight, so they couldn't see him anymore. It wasn't an ordinary cloud, but a cloud, the cloud of God's presence, which we see several times in the Bible. But he disappeared. And he is in heaven now. And in heaven, Jesus shines so brightly that if you could If you could just go up there now with your eyes as they are, he would be so bright you would be blinded. You wouldn't be able to see him. It would be worse than trying to look at the sun. And the only way you will be able to see the Lord Jesus is when he takes you up to heaven, gives you a new body, then he'll give you eyes that can see him, new eyes. Now Jesus is in heaven. He is God back where he came from. And so what should you do? Worship him. Worship him. What does it mean to worship him? Well, we worship him by singing songs about him. We worship him by praying to God the Father in the name of Jesus. We worship him by thinking about everything he's done. Think of this. He made the world. He made you. He made a body for himself to be born in. And then he made a human soul so he could die for your body and your soul and take you up to heaven. Maybe in a few years, maybe in many, many years. We don't know. Then he did many miracles. And he died and rose from the grave and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. We worship Jesus by thinking about all the things he's done and then by thanking him for them. So what does God want you to do now that Jesus is in heaven? He wants you to trust him as your Savior, and he wants you to worship him, to pray to him, to talk to him, to thank him for all that he's done for you. Will you do that? Will you do that? Not just you young ones, but you older ones as well. And folks, you better write this down. This is the shortest message you'll ever hear from me on a Sunday morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus, the eternal Word. You spoke, and the Word has existed with you forever. We thank you that you sent your Son, the Word, to be born, to die, to rise again, to take us up where you are, perhaps in a few years, perhaps in many, many years. And I pray that every boy and girl here and every man and woman here will trust Jesus as Lord and Savior and receive him and have eternal life through trusting in him. And we pray that you will enable us to worship you, Father, and to worship you, Lord Jesus, the Son, and to worship the Holy Spirit, three persons in one God, forever and ever. And it's in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen.